Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by the "Hey, that looks great, but who are the chefs?" host, Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are we doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a Monday and blah.
It's Super Bowl Monday.
Yeah, Super Bowl Monday. Yeah. Hangover Monday.
Yeah, you know, we should get right into that. Untap, upkeep, and draw. Okay, so we're going to get into untap, upkeep, and draw. We'll talk a little bit about the big game. I don't think we can say the SB word. I think we have to say the big game. But before we even begin that, I want to take a second to remind you guys that this episode of the Plains Talkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in both Catskill, New York, and the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Galleria in Poughkeepsie, New York, Kerwin's Game Store is the best place in gaming. Don't forget, folks, they do have an online presence, and you can get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout, so you want to make sure to do that. Was that your phone? Okay, moving on. I'm going to let that 5 seconds go. And we also want to take a quick moment to actually say thank you to our Planeswalker Patreon, Ian. Ian support... Let's take that again. Three. Hey, and we also want to take a quick moment to say thank you to our Planeswalker patron, Ian. Ian supports the show at the $5 level, and we're very, very thankful for that. We look forward to doing a gaming event with him this month. To find out more about how you can support the show and help it to grow and get better, go to patreon.com/planestalkers. But Aramis, it is our untap phase, and you're going to love this. Ready? I'm about to untap what I always do, only because I have to have a test tomorrow. It's just... Oh, wow, it's actually clear. Mountain Dew Zero tonight.
Oh, because it's green.
It's green. And,
it's invisible.
Oh, that's really... Wow.
That's just creepy as hell, man.
I had no idea I was going to do that, but now I just kind of... Like, you know what, Facebook, just let us know. Would you rather just me do this for the next half hour, 45 minutes, and just... roll my soda across the thing so you can see my
like,
background.
Like, I legit thought
here.
That was water.
Wait,
at
look,
first.
I've never looked better.
I honestly thought that was water at first.
Oh my gosh. So, but yes, I'm not drinking an adult beverage tonight. I'm just drinking Mountain Dew Zero. Oh gosh. I'm going to be honest here because they're hashtag not sponsored, so I could say this. This stuff right here tastes like... Again, that freaks me out. This stuff tastes like chemicals, man. I'm not getting sugar. I'm not getting fat. But what I'm probably getting is some form of cancer.
I mean, that's basically all. I mean, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So, joy.
Yay.
But yes, so there is that. But how are things going, man? So last night, you know, I just played Modern Warfare all night, man. What'd you do?
I watched the game.
What game?
Very funny. Now I have a. I had there's kidding. A tra- there's a tradition the game, that we've done for the last 30 years, where we just
is it crying your beer because the Carolina Panthers haven't been there since what 90?
It was 4 years ago they were there.
I know.
Anyway, no, we just we used to go to my mom's house, and but now you know obviously we can't do that anymore. So we
well you can, but just somebody else would be living.
Yeah, that would be creepy. So we have her recipe for chili, and that would be the only time of the year we'd have chili. So yeah. we make chili, we get a whole spread out, you know, it's just a family, just you know, a couple people, and we just watch the game and enjoy it. You know, if it's not quote unquote our team, we pick one side and then just, you know, root for them.
Do
like
you
we've
all
always
root for the same
always cheer for them.
Team?
What's that?
Do y'all root together? Like, we're all going to root for the Kansas City Chiefs this week.
No, sometimes it's different. Okay, there's one memory that I have from when we started doing this back in 89. It was the 49ers and the Denver Broncos. And my mom was the only person in the house that picked the Denver Broncos. They lost that game 55-10. And it got so bad to the point where she locked herself in her room. And every time the 49ers scored, me and my sister would run up the stairs, pound on the door, and say, "The 49ers scored again. You have to come down and watch this." She wasn't too happy about that.
It's funny. I was back when I was living back in Rochester. I mean, I had a tradition where I'd go with my friend over to my friend Glenn's house, and we had like four guys that we kind of hung out together, and one of them, we called him Coach because he was a football coach for one of the local high schools, and he's a big Bears fan. And this was about, oh, I don't know, it was the year the Bears went to the Super Bowl, but they got beat real bad. And so we're sitting there, and we knew the Bears were going to get blown out. I think it was Baltimore. I'm not sure, though.
Indianapolis, I think they played that year.
It was Indianapolis. Yeah. You're right, it was Indianapolis. And, I mean, we're watching this game, and it's just one comedy of errors after another. If you get the opportunity to watch football with somebody who's a fan of the team, it's either going to be really cool because you're happy for them, or it's even better if they're losing.
Or even so, slightly awkward because you're like, should I call the police? Should I leave? Mm-hmm. Should I not leave? Should I hide the sharp objects? This person seems pretty dejected.
Well, I mean, we're sitting there, and Glenn, the reason we're doing this is my buddy Glenn got a new TV, and he's like, dude, y'all gotta come over. And he had like one of these big plasmas. It was gorgeous, right? Mm-hmm. It was like 60 inches before 60 was a thing. I mean, he spent a ton of money on the damn thing. And we're just sitting there, and we're just kind of laughing about it. And then what's his face throws up? Brunel, I think he was the QB at the time. I forget who it was, though. Throws another interception. Literally, we're just sitting there, and all of a sudden, out of my corner of my eye, I just see a red hat fly by us and hit the television. Nice. And Glenn's like, get the heck out of my house, dude. It's classic.
That's awesome.
But I mean, this is not a sport ball podcast.
No,
we should stop talking about sport ball. But I mean, that was a big event. And I mean, are you going? You're going to Kerwin's this weekend, right?
That is the plan. I'm planning to go to Kerwin's. I'm planning to participate in FNM and hopefully take Esper to a crown.
Well, me and my lovely bride are actually, we're going out. We're going to go, there's some sort of simulcast at a local establishment where they're going to actually be showing Oswego, which is where we went to college, their hockey game, and it's an alumni event. And a bunch of our friends that we hang out with that are alumni are going. So we're like, she was like, can we have a date night Friday? I know you normally go. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, let's do that. So her and I are going to go do that, and we're going to have ourselves a good little time and see some friends of ours that we haven't seen. And, you know, since she's on antibiotics. She drives. She hates night driving, though, so she's probably going to drive us right off a bridge. But I'm okay with this. Mm. I mean, as long as we get home safely. But, you know what, let's go ahead. And that's enough of, you know, untapping and upkeep. Just to let you guys know what we're talking about tonight, because we do like to do that during the upkeep portion, is tonight's really going to be kind of a cornucopia show. We were kind of both of us just sitting here for about a half an hour just scratching our brains going, what the heck are we talking about? There's not a lot of news. Steros is released. There's no real pre-releases other than the Unset, which looks kind of fun, and I might get that. So what we're going to talk about tonight is the state of standard, obviously, where things are. We had our first couple of events. They were team events that were televised. So, but we have some ideas as far as what's going on. So we're going to go through a few of those decks. Then we're going to go into combat, talk about collector boosters, and you know, are there by any chance causing more harm than good? In our main two, we're going to follow up some of the stuff we talked about last week with drafting and in Worlds. And then we'll even talk a little bit about some of the coverage that's coming. And then we will have our giveaway tonight for our iTunes review, playing or arena deck list. So pretty good full show tonight. So right now, let's go ahead and get right into the main phase, the main thing here.
Main phase.
All right, welcome to main phase, ladies and gentlemen. We're here in main phase. We want to talk tonight about standard. You know, we had ourselves a little event this week, and nothing major again. It's a little weird. Like, the last couple of standard, you know, new decks that came out, it was like SCG went out of their way to do standard. I think, really, though, I think this is a fallout of Voco. I mean, I don't know about you, but it seemed like for a while there, SCG was all about doing some sort of standard event when we got a new set. Mm-hmm. Whether it be limited and really focused on that. But this time around, I mean, I think because of the Yoko stuff and the Pioneer announcement, they just don't. And, I mean, we have a team event. But we still got some standard in there. So
yeah, there was a team event, but there was the SCG Classic, which is like almost like a side event, but you still get Like, I think it's like qualifier points for their invitational tournaments.
Yeah.
So you know, there was a couple of, I guess, small to moderate standard events over the weekend. I mean, the big thing that was going on were the two first players tours over in Brussels and Nagoya. So.
Yeah, those were televised, which I didn't realize until this weekend.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of sad about that because I would have watched some of it.
I got to watch maybe like 10, 15 minutes of it. It was a busy weekend.
I mean, granted, it was Pioneer.
It was Pioneer, it was Pioneer's first major event.
Yeah, and it was successful.
It was very successful. So. I think it showed that the format is healthy. I think it showed that the Dimir Inverter deck is...
We can talk about
thing.
That in coverage. Let's go. I'm just kidding. Dimir Inverter?
Yeah, the Dimir Inverter. So what that deck does, it's obviously Dimir, so it's blue-black. And basically the whole point of the deck, it's a combo deck. It's kind of hard to play because the way you want to work it is that you want to eventually resolve a Inverter of Truth, which is a mythic from Oath of the Gatewatch, which was like a 70-cent mythic before this tournament came out. Now it's like a $12 card. It's 6/6 flyer for 2/2 black with Devoid, so it has no color. And when it enters the battlefield, you exile your library, and then you shuffle your graveyard into your library. So what you do is you try to get your graveyard to maybe have like maybe 4 or 5 cards in it. You play the Inverter of Truth, and then you cast a Thassa's Oracle, hopefully having
game
enough
over.
Devotion to just win the game on the spot. And... even if, like, if your deck had, if your library has 0 cards and you cast Thassa and they kill Thassa's Oracle, you still win because your devotion's 0. That's still equal to X, and so it's an interesting deck. It's kind of cool. People are already crying for it to be banned, but it's like
Oracle or
the one part invention. Of the combo or the other, but it's like just relax, guys. Relax.
Somebody will find a way around it. That's just it.
It's not unbeatable.
Well, it's kind of like going back to what I was saying earlier about Standard. It's like, and it does. It's like, in a way, I think the Throne of Eldraine debacle, shall we call it, Core 2020 Throne of Eldraine debacle, we'll say, with Field of the Dead and then Oracle, or Oracle Oko.
Well, and,
I think the problem is I think we're seeing the results of Standard taking a hit.
Yeah.
You know, we're not seeing as many events televised for sure. We're not seeing as many scheduled, for sure, unless it's a part of a team thing.
Well, I mean, also, part of that, too, I think, is because, they kind of restructured everything, so this season coming up is kind of an abbreviated season, so I think they're still figuring this out as they go.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree with that. However, looking at it, I mean, the whole point is that I was trying to make is that I think the other side of it is that, you know, newer players, newer users, those who jumped into Pioneer and maybe hadn't played Modern or been playing for a while, you know, they could sit there and think that banning is a matter of course. It's something that has to happen a lot.
I
think Wizards is going... I'm glad they've slowed down the Pioneer bannings a little bit because it was getting a little ridiculous. I think there's got to be. It's one thing if it's overpowered. Like obviously, Green Devotion was busted. Okay, it's one thing for that. And to let it kind of fall out, to let it kind of flow out. But to to go here and say, hey, we all need to do. We got to ban Inverter of Truth. Okay, let's say that. Well, here's the thing. When Izzet Phoenix was just beating up Modern. Okay. Everybody's like, well, we got to ban Arclight, or we got to ban Mana Morphosa, we got to ban Scalding Tarns, we got to ban, well, not Scalding Tarns, but, you know, we got to ban this, that, or the other thing. What the hell's that one drop there that
Faithless
they finally...
Looting.
Yeah, Faithless Looting. No, we got to ban all...
Well, that had been a problem before Phoenix.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Okay, here's the deal. Izzet Phoenix was not at the top of the food chain after everything was, after a while, because people found a way to beat it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know that Wizards is letting the field kind of, they're being really super uber reactionary lately.
Well, with the Pioneer thing, the Pioneer bans are now in line with the regular ban and restricted announcement.
Which is good. They needed to do that.
And they said they were going to do that after December. So whenever there's a regular announcement, that's when you'll see any changes to Pioneer. The reason that they were so aggressive at the beginning was because they figured, all right, instead of having a predetermined ban list where something might be on there that doesn't need to be, I mean, there's obviously an exception to that because the format came out with the fetch lands being banned. They decided, all right, you guys have all the toys, break it so we can fix it. They sort of ended up having us beta test Pioneer.
And I get that. And that I was okay with. Okay,
yeah, and the bans came hot and heavy right off the bat. And yep. they started to slow down after a while, but I think this is one of the situations where they introduced a new format and they did it right.
I'm not disagreeing with that per se, but I think now that we're, you know, I do want to see them kind of let the field kind of settle.
Well, they have. They haven't banned anything in a month and a half.
Right. Well, because, you know, I mean, I definitely think, especially in something like Pioneer, like, I do think somebody's going to find a way to make Mono White Devotion work. Mm-hmm. Because that Walking Ballista and Heliod combo is kind of... It's a combo, though. I mean, you take one piece out and you're down.
Well, it was on camera over the weekend. I remember seeing part of a match of that, and it was, you know, I believe they won that game where they got the combo off, and there's not really much you can do. But the new Inverter of Truth decks, there's ways around it. I mean, there's plenty of ways to deal with the trigger entering the battlefield. There's plenty of ways of dealing with them being able to go off. So... It's not. I don't think it's a problem. Yes, it had 5 out of the top 8 in this tournament, in one of the 2 tournaments. But I think part of the problem with that was because it was a brand new deck, so people haven't adapted to it yet. It really only showed up about a week and a half ago.
Well, I think too, it's a fun looking deck.
It does look like fun. It's hard to play.
That's
though.
Just it. And I think these guys were like, I think a lot of these guys that are playing in this type of event, if you're playing the first Pioneer event, you want to have a little bit of fun. You're kind of like, you know, hey, this is, you know, when am I going to get to do this again? This is almost janky for jank's sake, you know, and I get it. So, I mean, I'm kind of glad to see it kind of, you know, get it out of the way now. Get it out of the way now. Go ahead. Have your fun. Go to town. And then, hey, start, you know. So, but I do want to talk, you know, let's pivot back to standard here. You know, I do want to kind of go through some of the newer, well, not newer, but just variations upon the decks that we're seeing. You know, we've had about a week now, you know, two weekends, really, because it came out on Friday, a week ago Friday. So we've had 2 full weekends of, you know, new standard. Like we saw an SCG team open where they were playing some standard. The Classic happened. You know, and there's still some MTGO and things happening, league play and all that. And we're using MTG Goldfish right now just kind of to go through because that's a good site to kind of get an idea of, you know, keep a finger on the pulse of the metagame. It's looking like they're top 3 right now, and this was surprising to me what number 3 was. But, I mean, we talked about it last week. I'm not terribly surprised to see Control come back. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a little shocked that it's not Esper. It is Azorius. It's blue-white. Number 2 was kind of like the underdog I don't think anybody saw coming. A lot of us were asleep on Anax, and, you know...
I need to remember what we said last week. I think one of us mentioned mono-red.
You did.
I did?
Okay. Yeah, and it's a real thing. I mean, I was kind of looking at it and playing around with it this week, and it looks kind of fun. And I'm, you know,
there were a couple games I played online over the weekend where I died on like turn 3, and it was not close.
You were playing against red.
I was playing Esper Control. They were playing mono red, and if I remember correctly, the second game, they went turn 1, Fervent Champion, turn 2, shit. Fervent Champion, turn 3, Embercleave, kill you.
Wow.
The only spell I cast that game was a Metamized Prophecy. And I was like, yep, I'm fried. There's nothing I can do.
Yep, you're pretty much...
That's a god. It was a god draw for them. But, I mean, it was awesome.
It doesn't take much to god draw. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I was playing around with the guys today at lunch because, I mean, I'm still tweaking it. I need to get a 4th Embercleave. I only got 3. So I've been kind of tweaking it a little bit. I mean, I think the big... You know, but let the big busted thing, since we're already on it and it's number 2 deck, but that's fine. The busted combo is obviously Anax and Embercleave. And to some extent, I'm a big fan of Castle Embreath. I was a little sleep on that too.
Yeah,
I love the idea of having land out there that just bumps my stuff and it bumps everybody.
It's kind of a finisher. It's kind of one of those finisher cards. I mean, it's like the deck doesn't like need Anax because it can flat kill you without it because of all the one drops.
Right.
But it is, yeah, you're right. It's an absolute powerhouse. And even if they start killing your guys, Anax replaces them with more dudes.
Yep.
And you're not interested in blocking anyway, so you don't care that they can't block.
Nope. I'll take, you know, I mean, for me, I've been kind of playing around. I've got my deck pretty well dialed in. I do have, I'm running one Torbjörn myself. I think I'm going to switch one of the, I might switch the Phoenixes of Ash out, put them in the sideboard, put Bonecrusher Giant back in. I like the idea of that being, you know, Lightning Bolt with a face.
Right.
You know, and it's going to help my devotion.
Yeah.
You know, as far as other things like Rimrock Knight, I'm not a huge, I've never been a huge flavor, you know, fan of him. I've been running the other rogue. I've been running two of the rogues. I'm running the Thief of whatever he is.
Oh, Robber the Rich?
Robber of the Rich.
Well, the whole point of the Rimrock Knight is more for his pump spell than for his creature's form.
Right.
But the creature form you still get a boost out of because Fervent Champion can target him to give an additional plus. And if you slap an Embercleave on that, I mean, you know, 5/2 double strike trample is nothing to sneeze at for 2 mana.
What I tend to run is I'm running the flavor with the Tin Street Dodger and the Robber of the Rich.
Okay. Yeah.
Because they also, you know, fuel each other and it's a little bit of removal. I found that, especially if I'm playing control, I like the idea of taking your top card and saying you can't have it anymore. Because usually you're going to have, if I'm playing control especially, you're going to have more cards in your hand than I am.
Yeah.
At almost any time. So I've really enjoyed playing that. I'm always amazed. I've been looking at how to sideboard this thing. Obviously, I have lava coils and stuff, but I'm like, wait a second. Wait, what? Like, it's like the sideboard I'm looking at is like 4 lava coils, 4 Unchained Berserkers, 4 Tibalts, and 3 Experimental Frenzies, and that's it.
Yep.
I'm like,
very straightforward.
Yeah, and I love the Tibalt thing. I've had 3 lava coils. I think I had 2 of the 3 drop that if you spend 3 red mana, it does 4 damage. And 3 Tibalts, obviously, because the life gain. Stopping life gain is huge right now. Experimental Frenzy, I'm not so sure about, but...
That, I think, that would probably come in for the control matchups, because they can't counter everything.
Right, that's true. It's probably a good point. I might throw a 1 or 2 in there, because, I mean, I've got everything else. But, I mean, I'm really kind of been in... It's fun to have Mono Red back again. Mm-hmm. And, obviously, they're going to get the... somebody's going to learn how to break it, you know, and fix it.
Well, I think it's back. I think it's back. I think it's probably going to hang around the top of the tiers. Maybe not tier 1, but it's going to be, like, top tier 2, maybe bottom tier 1.
Right.
It's always been one of those decks where it can surprise kill you, and maybe this is because it's a new format. You know, mono red and aggro decks always do well at the beginning of formats. But I mean, just there's more of the spike damage potential in this one than we've seen in a while from mono red.
And you don't have to deal with the mana problems.
The mana problems, obviously, you're not. Yeah, you don't really care. You're only playing 21 lands. You're gonna, you know, most of your stuff costs 2 or less. So you don't really care. And if you have a bunch of 1/2 drops that are attacking, your Embercleave costs 2 mana. So there you go. You don't ever need to get to 6.
Well, I don't know. To be quite honest, I'm not sure. I've been tweaking with that, too, a little bit. The land base. They're calling for 21, 22, 23 land, or 21, 22, 20 lands. I'm like, I'm finding myself flood a little bit with it, too. And it's like, but you do need mana to get Anax out and anything else out, and you really want to have the mana for Embercleave, so I'm kind of okay with the flood. It's just you got to learn how to mulligan that deck.
Yeah, you got to be aggressive.
Yeah, and it's basically, you know, we're going to pivot off of red here. You know, its enemy, its big enemy other than white life gain right now, I think, is, and again, I'm going to eat a little crow here. I was 2 out of 3 right. I was saying Esper Control last week, when in actuality it looks like the big bad boy right now is going to be Azorius.
Well, Azorius was part of the meta before the
rotation. It's been here for a while.
Yeah, it was before Theros rotated in, but
right.
It got a hell of a toy in Dream
Trawler.
Dream
Trawler's just were stupid.
It's, holy, well, it's that stupid that is. And like, actually, it got a bunch of really good cards from Theros. I mean, it got Dream Trawler, which is, you know, format all star. You're gonna see that for the next year and a half. It's not going anywhere. Elspeth Conqueror's Death is extremely good. Very underrated card.
Yeah, I'm right with you on that.
Getting Banishing Light back. Birth of Miletus, Omen of the Sea is really good. Shatter the Sky, a nice 4-mana Wrath. Azorius Control got all kinds of toys, and it's really taking advantage. It's good old-fashioned control. I mean, you're playing counterspells again.
Yeah, it's what my wife calls it, because she has a blue-white, so I think I'm going to actually grab this deck list, because she's been playing it. She calls it her Nope deck.
Yep.
That's my Nope deck. Basically, you don't get to play anything.
Well,
so
she needs to get that t-shirt, then.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. You know, Valentine's Day's coming.
No! Actually, scratch that. I need to get that t-shirt.
Yeah, right. No kidding. But I'm definitely on board with it. I really like this. Like I said, I could see myself kind of building. I'll build it for her, mm-hmm. You know, because she really does enjoy playing blue white. She hasn't played in a little while. She's getting kind of. She's back into RuneScape. And
if only you understood the power of the dark side.
Oh, it's so annoying. It's like, honey. I don't get my office anymore. Because, you know, we have one desktop. And, I mean, she used to have a laptop, and then I might have broke it. And so now I've been letting her use my desktop, and she liked my desktop anyway. And it's just like, honey, I really want to use my computer. But, you know, use your laptop. It's not as good as yours. But anyway, you know, I digress. You know what? I think I'm more ADD without the beer.
Mm-mm. Well, it could also be the caffeine spike.
I have no idea. But in any event, yeah, Dream Trawler, I don't know. I'm still,
a card.
Every time I've brought Dream Trawler out, I haven't been able to really, it's almost becoming too big. Like, you get Dream Trawler out, and it's immediately like, I have to deal with it. I have to deal with it now.
Because that's exactly what it is. You have to deal with this card, because it will kill you in short order. Because if the flying damage and lifelink doesn't do it, the sheer card advantage will.
Yeah.
Because you're drawing two cards a turn, possibly three, depending on how many of these things you have in play.
How do you not make this legendary? Like, that is almost like a wizard.
Oopsie. It is hard to cast.
It is.
Even for Azorius, it's hard to cast. Double blue, double white. It's hard to get to on curve. I have a couple of them in my Esper control deck, and I, you know, do a little dance when I cast them because it's just, I'm going to win this game. Because if you don't have a Wrath, it's not dying. There's nothing in the air that's bigger than this.
Right. Well, Sapphire. If you're playing a white Azorius Flyer deck, you have some problems.
Yeah, but there's plenty
of Azorius Flyer is not even a deck anymore.
Not even
a
deck. I mean, and even if there was, there's D-Spark, there's Ashiok, there's Teferi.
Well, that's the Esper version.
We're just
talking blue-white now. I mean,
well, if it's blue-white, you got Banishing Light.
Yeah, that's about it. And it's Banishing Light's
Elspeth
a problem.
Conquers Death, too.
Yeah. Banishing White's been annoying.
It's a good card. I'm glad it's back. It's something that control needed to have a nice answer, a pinpoint answer to anything.
Well, I mean, there were so many great little things that have kind of come in, and I mean, I've been playing against different devotion decks, and you know, I played against a mono black the other day that was throwing out that one drop freaking enchantment. Oh, what the hell is it?
One drop enchantment.
Not dead weight. Myers Grasp. Oh, sorry, two drop.
Oh, yeah, that's
Myers. They were throwing Myers Grasp and what's the one with Escape?
Oh, Mogus's Fury.
Mogus's Fury. What a freaking annoying card that is.
Not annoying to me. I don't play creatures.
Shut up. and that's just it. I don't think. Again, we're still trying to figure things out. You can pretty much play almost anything right now and have some fun with it.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that Team of Reclamation's back.
That was what it was going to be, too. And, like, number three is, you know, it's our old, you know, not to beat the dead horse, but Team of Reclamation. In other words,
Infinite Mana.
Wilderness Reclamation is back.
Yeah. Well, that was dead horse number two for us, wasn't it?
Right. Nexus was first.
Yes, we have Nexus of Fate, Wilderness Reclamation, and Oko. Hey, you know what? They're all Simic.
They're all blue, anyway.
Blue and green.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, it's... First of all, I'm tired of green getting everything. Can we stop? you know, the green love for a while, for crying out loud. This is just getting ridiculous. You know, and this is a pretty good, I don't think it's ready yet. I think it's going to, I think this is a flash in the pan. I think Thassa's intervention helped it, but I still don't see this being...
This deck is incredible. Like, for me as an Esper player or a control player, this deck is incredibly annoying if they resolve a Wilderness Reclamation.
But that's the problem.
It's incredibly annoying because...
But if you're playing Esper control, you've got a thousand ways to deal with it. That's the problem I have with this deck. And this is why I think this, more than any of the other two, is going to be the flash in the pan, is that there's so much enchantment hate.
There is.
There's a ton of enchantment hate in this right now. Obviously, you need to do it. And I can't imagine Ilaria is going to be any different, or whatever, however it's Ikoria.
Ikoria?
Yeah. I can't imagine Ikoria is going to be any different. I think we're going to see some enchantment hate for a little while. And, like, you kill Wilderness Wreck, and this just becomes a mid-range, slow kind of... I mean, Euro's great, but it's still a little sluggish.
Mm. I mean, they have... It's one of those decks where it's just... If it doesn't go right, it's not going to win anyway.
Right. Well, I mean, that's any deck.
But I mean, but more so than this, it's more fragile in that regard, because it does have a very specific engine that it's trying to get done. But like I was saying, if they do happen to resolve a Wilderness Reclamation, you basically have one or two turns, and if you don't have the answer right then and there, they're going to blow off your face with a giant expansion explosion,
or Storm's Wrath. But yeah,
I mean, Storm's Wrath is just a wrath.
There's a ton of, yeah, I'm just, again, I don't think this is going to be, I think in a few weeks this is going to be back down where it was before.
Maybe, yeah. We have to, there's something we should probably, we should play these decks at some point.
At some point. We should play anyway, period. You know, and I mean, I do. I like the deck. I think Gadwick, I mean, which is a Throne of Eldraine card, but I think Gadwick is a genius ad. Euro's obviously, you know, I'm not sure it's a real deal yet. I get the feeling Euro's one of those cards that's going to just kind of always be kind of around.
It's kind of
until
an engine
the
card.
Next set, and then it's going to blow. It's going to be like...
Well, I think it's sort of filling the void that's going to be created when Hydroid Krasis rotates out.
True.
So...
And I still think the best card, and I don't know if I've ever said this on mic, but the best card in Standard right now is Nissa.
Yeah.
Nissa Shakes the World is the absolute best card in Standard. Team of Reclamation, I'm kind of surprised it's not in there.
Well, this particular list, although they got second place with this.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they're like, we don't need the 5-drop. I mean, there's a lot of other thing, you know, we want in the 5-drop slot. Yeah. And, but still, like... The fact that you can make a Hydroid Krasis isn't even on the list.
Well, Uro replaced that.
Covers it, yeah.
For the most part. I mean, there's some that still do play it.
I'd have a hard time not playing. Well, I guess that's it. By getting Euro Titan of Nature's Wrath, they get rid of the 5-drop and the X-drop.
Yeah, Nissa and Krasis are kind of win mores at that point.
Right. So, I guess I do get that.
I mean, if you're going to be playing Nissa, you're going to be playing Simic Ramp, not Team of Reclamation.
True. So, and that's, you know. Chris, we don't have a YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. It's not being used yet. We're mainly on Facebook for the live show, but I'm starting to look at various ways we can get this video over to YouTube, which we can do. It just, you know, it's a matter of timing. So we're working on it. But moving on to that, yeah. And, you know, I do like the sideboard of this. I'm sorry, Niv-Mizzet, I miss Niv. So much fun.
It is still an extremely powerful Magic card. I mean, mm-hmm. there's no real shell for it right now. Is it is kind of a, you don't really
it's
want
gone.
To be playing just flat is it.
Yeah.
Because there's just better things you could be doing with your mana. But it's still the old rule. You untap with Niv-Mizzet, you should win the game.
All right.
Because it's just stupid card. I mean, it's so hard to cast.
It's so weird, too, because I'm taking a look here, and I'm thinking, and I'm like, okay, one other thing that happened, I mean, because we're back in Theros and there's Devotion, it's like, you expect that there's going to be monos, Okay, mono red aggro obviously is always going to be a thing. You know, but I'm looking here at the top six, and mono white life is there. Mono black devotion is there. Mm-hmm. I'm still kind of surprised that green isn't alone.
Green needs a better one mana dork than Gilded Goose for what it wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it needs Llanowar Elves. Because with Gilded Goose, it only ramps you for that one turn, then you have to keep pumping mana into it to get more food. Gilded Goose isn't as good as it used to be without an engine or Oko behind it. And Mono Green doesn't have time for that.
You're right. I think that that's the piece probably missing.
Yeah,
Mono
Green wants to get his big fat dudes out as soon as possible. It doesn't want any speed bumps in the way. It wants to cast its big guys. You know, it wants to go turn three Questing Beast, and it can't sit there saying, well, I can't play a three drop on turn two because then I can't play Questing Beast on curb because I have to make a stupid food for my goose.
Yeah, because, I mean, it has the two drop with the druid, but it needs the one.
Yeah, the one drop is really where that takes off.
Well, wait a second now. I mean, you can curve into it, though. If you get a Gilded Goose and a Leafkin Druid, then it's kind of... I mean, what else would you drop on two? You know, in a mono green deck. I mean, what else?
Oh, what the heck is it called? You want to be dropping, like, Pelt Collectors on turn one. You want to be dropping...
Yeah, I'm with you there.
If you're dropping a Mana Dork on turn two, you want it to be a Paradise Druid.
Well, that's just it. Between Leafkin and Paradise, you would rather
have something that attacks,
right?
And then you know that then you still have to you know you I think it's a little bit harder to do because then turn three you're probably playing Yorvo if you're not curving if you didn't get the mana dork.
Even if you did, you should play Yorvo.
If it's turn three and you're curving out, you're playing Questing Beast.
True.
Then turn five, I mean, Mono Green would probably still play Nissa.
And Mono Green will definitely play Nissa.
You know, it should. Because then you can have Voracious Hydras.
That's just it. I'm just kind of surprised that Mono Green's not there yet. I think you might be right. I think the one drop scares people away.
There's too many decks out there with board wipes right now.
There's too many decks that are fast, dude. They're
You have Azorius Control with Shatter the Sky. You have Team of Reclamation with Storm's Wrath. You have Mono Red Aggro that just kills you before you have a chance to do anything. Jeskai Fires is like, oh, those are cute little creatures. Here's my free Cavaliers. And Simic Ramp is like, Uro? Nissa? You can't do anything.
Right.
Hydrate Crisis for 12?
Well, I think the board wipes, I mean, definitely are something to be considered. I mean...
If you're going to go aggro like that, you're going to go with Gruul. Because that gives you access to Ember Cleave. That gives you access to Bone Crusher Giant.
Gives you access to, what's his face there? Kethlis or...
Oh, Klothys, yeah.
Oh, Klothys is stupid.
Yeah, Klothys. It's just Domri's Ambush. Lovestruck Beast is a great turn three play.
The first Iroan game. Well, wait a second. There you go, too. I mean, the Iroan Games is a good three drop in mono green.
Yeah, it's a little all in, because then if you get blown up, you kind of, you know, cry.
True. I think you're right. Maybe you might be right, too, about the... About the board wipe situation.
Yeah, there's a lot of good board wipes right now. I mean, control and combo are sort of towards the top at the moment. There is some aggro, there is some ramp, so it's healthy though. There's a nice variety of decks to play, which is good. Nothing is really like super dominant at the moment because you know you can beat control, you can beat aggro, you can beat combo. There's no card right now that's warping anything.
Would you say anything's a whiff? I kind of think Thassa might be a whiff. And even I was high on her.
Thassa... Yeah, maybe Thassa might be a whiff. I mean, I don't know how much play she's actually seeing. Let me do a little clicky here in the background while we're doing that. But yeah. I think you might be right. She might be... she might have ended up being a little bit of a whiff.
Well, I mean, I don't see... For a while there, I was taking a look, and some people are throwing her in ramp and things like that.
Yeah, there's a Teemer Elementals deck that uses her. She's seeing a little bit of play in Pioneer.
Right. I think she's, you know, which sucks because, I mean, I still love the idea of the I Take Your Stuff deck.
I think with Thassa, it's sort of like Wilderness Reclamation. They just haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
I think give it a little more time. Wait until Ikoria, and I bet she takes off. Because being able to blink creatures and the way Ikoria seems to be going, it looks like it's a build-your-own creature type of thing. Being able to say, this isn't any good right now. Let's blink it and start it over.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, Standard is its health. Is it as healthy as it was pre-rotation, pre-Throne of Eldraine? No.
No, it's.
I mean,
it's,
that was an amazing standard that was rare, and it lasted over a year and a half. I think.
I would say it's the best it's been since right before War of the Spark.
Interesting.
Because War of the Spark is where Nissa and Teferi and Narset and all those planeswalkers really flipped things around. And before that, I think things were doing really, really well. I mean, which isn't to say that War of the Spark standard was bad. I thought it was pretty good. But I think this is the best since right before that happened. So I would say like maybe, you know, 7.5, 8 out of 10.
That's cool. I like that. I can't disagree. I mean, it's hard because, I mean, well, before War of the Spark, so you're sitting there. So you're saying before War of the Spark, post Hazoret.
Yeah, this is when, you know, Ravnica Allegiance had come out. Hydroid Crisis was just starting to come out. It was
Guilds, Hydroid.
Was it Sultai Ramp? When Sultai Ramp was really big.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't Sultai Ramp, it was Sultai Midrange.
Yeah, Sultai Midrange with the Llanowar Explore, Elves.
Explore, Mechanic, into, and yeah.
Yeah, and they're in Nevraska, and you play the Hydroid Crisis, and people were like, oh, this card's good.
Yeah. So I do think it's a little healthy. I definitely encourage you, you know.
It's trending in the right direction.
It is. And I mean, Ikoria is going to be a good thing. I mean, next week, maybe we could talk about possible bans. I don't see anything right now that's breaking the format.
No.
You know, people were already high on Thassa and thought that should be banned. And then, especially with the Agent of Treachery mechanic, I mean, unless you're going to play some sort of Simic ramp, steal your stuff deck, which, again, you should go teamer so that you get Claim the Firstborn and then go to town. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, I think we're kind of good here. I think we've kind of gone through things. Like I said, the only other deck I would talk about is the Mono White Life deck. It's nice seeing Life Gain back.
It's good to see Mono White being competitive.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be competitive for a while. I think we're going to see Tybalt make a massive return to Mono Red. I mean, the fact that every Mono Red aggro deck list that I'm seeing has four of him in the sideboard, I'm like,
well,
wow.
It makes sense because I've always said this about the Mono Red aggro decks. They're great at dealing 25 to 35 damage. You get above that, they have a real hard time closing the door.
That's why I'm keeping Phoenix of Ash in. It's the flyer, really. I mean, there are better ways to do what it does, but the flying aspect and being able to have some sort of way to stop a flyer. Because if I get Tybalt out, I need to be able to protect him from... Because if I'm bringing Tybalt in, I'm playing a white life gain deck, which means flyers are happening. So... And Ian Josh here, our guy, he's actually saying he likes the new Mono White Devotion. I don't disagree.
I like his icon next to his name.
So I definitely I think Mono White 2, I think Mono White will go up. I think Mono White will take Teamer Rex place. I think Aristocrats.
You think that'll go all the way to 3?
I think it'll go at least 4. I think Mono Black, everybody was like, Gary Mono Black, and maybe they haven't broke the code yet. I think it's getting there. I think Mono White Life, though, it's tough to beat Life Gain like that. It really is, no matter what deck you're playing, unless it's Blue-White Control, and even then, you know, with Blue-White Control, I just got to shut down Dream Trawler.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, because there's only one creature in there, and I mean, what your win con is nothing more than... You know,
but it's hard. It's hard to deal with Dream Trawler, though.
It really is.
All that card advantage, and again, it's not like you can kill it. I'm looking at this mono white deck.
It can be killed in like a mono. I mean, there's flyers in mono white, aren't there?
Yeah, but I mean, you'd have to gang up on it, and I don't think Azorius Control would have no problem wiping the board and sacrificing their Dream Trawler because they've already drawn, you know, 6 cards off of it.
True, but by the time you're getting Dream Trawler out, they could have a life total of 70. You know, I mean, not 70, but you get what I mean. Or say 52. They could have a life total of 52.
Yeah, how'd that work out for you?
Let's not discuss that. We got 6 more episodes. So, So I think with that, we should go ahead and pivot off of main here. Let's get into our combat phase because, I mean, again, it's one of those things. Standard's looking pretty healthy. It's looking good. You know, I've got my decks I'm kind of looking at building. I do think, you know, maybe next week we'll talk about some of the decks we think are going down due to the Theros rotating in, like Rakdos Aristocrats or Jeskai Fires, or how they might be able to come back. So, but let's go ahead and get into combat.
Combat phase.
All right, welcome to combat phase. Okay, so what we wanted to talk about tonight for combat is it kind of came out, and granted, a big, like heaping, you know, 10-gallon scoop of salt. And I know Chris is in the chat here, Chris, and he owns Gamers Revolt, so if he wants to chime in, I'd be glad to hear from him. And we definitely should ask Steve about this. We have a question here. Basically, one of the websites I went to, one of the YouTube channels, was positing the idea that collector's boosters are starting to erode the value of booster boxes. Like, people are instead spending an extra $150 to get a collector booster box because the return on investment is better. Now, you did, you know, you got your hands on a collector booster, right?
Yeah, box, actually.
Okay. I guess we should talk about that. I mean, my thought is that, you know, what happened with that with you? Like, do you feel like, is getting a booster box from now on going to feel kind of like, you know, like, it's nice, but...
It's totally dependent on what you're looking to do. I think, you know, collector boosters aren't for everyone because...
They're hella expensive.
Well, they're hella expensive. And they're also, you know, they're chock full of foils, which are going to curl.
True.
And they're not draftable.
True.
At least not in any traditional sense. You only get 12 in a box. And you shouldn't be cracking packs for value to begin with, honestly.
Okay. Go on.
The collector boosters, like, I think overall they're good for the game because someone like me, I love foils, I love collecting. I like filling out my binder with cards from the set. I don't care if they're good, bad, if they see play, whatever. I want to have,
right, you want to have
one or a few copies of all of them.
Okay.
I'm not looking to, like, invest or anything, but to me, collector boosters are good because it allows me to bling out my binder. It's like, oh, I got all these nice foils, these alternate arts. Now, granted, yes, a lot of this stuff shows up in regular booster packs, mm-hmm. but some of it doesn't. So for premium, it gives me an opportunity to sort of turbocharge the collecting aspect of getting cards. I love getting booster boxes. And for me, I love cracking packs just to crack packs.
Yeah, I mean, if I go into Walmart, if I don't come out with a pack, I'm surprised.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to do it. I mean, but if you're doing it to try to get a return on your investment, it's a bad idea because the collector boosters especially are kind of a lottery ticket. The problem that this guy might be saying with Theros is the big chase cards for Throne of Eldraine were the showcase cards.
Yep.
You know, the borderless planeswalkers, the storybook frame cards, and the full art rares. Now, in Theros, they count the Nyx lands as showcase cards.
Really?
And you're getting two of those per booster pack.
Okay.
There's also only 5, 10, 11, 14 other showcase cards in the set. Because you have your 5 demigods that are Constellation. You have your 6 regular gods that are Constellation. And you also have your 3 borderless planeswalkers with alternate art. Your Ashiok, your Kalix, and your Elspeth. And I think that you're going to get a lot of duplicates if you're buying a lot of collector boosters, which also, by the way, is a lot of money if you're going to buy a lot of collector boosters.
Yeah, and that's just it. I've bought, I think I've gotten 2 or 3. I got given 1. And then I think I purchased 2 now. I mean, I had a little extra scratch when I went into Walmart and I found them there. I was like, hey, you know what? What the hell?
Yeah, it's a lottery ticket.
Yeah, and it was. And I mean, I opened the foil storybook or whatever they call it, art of Ashiok, the alternate art. And
yeah, where in like Throne of Eldraine, that would be worth probably a lot of money.
Right.
But for Theros, I think it's only like $20.
Yeah, it was $32 or something like
that. Yeah, because it's so much easier to get them.
Yeah.
Getting the borderless foil is still the chase. Like the most valuable one that I have, and I'm pretty happy about it, was the foil full art Thassa's Oracle.
Yeah, that's really a good card.
Which, you know, if this Pioneer deck keeps taking off, is going to be, you know, I'm going to get it some decent money for that. Am I going to sell it?
What do you mean you're going to get it? You haven't sold a dang thing, dude.
You didn't let me finish. I'm probably not going to sell it because unless I get another one, I want to keep it for the collecting aspect because it's a foil.
Right, and it's a borderless. I mean, you know, Chris is in the chat, like I said, and he's the owner of Gamers Revolt. He said, you know, honestly, he feels the collector boosters are for the store itself to crack and sell singles out of them. They do help getting other bling to help them with their self-esteem, you know, like I have a better-looking collection. I never really thought of that, like, you know,
stores... There's nothing better than looking at someone's collection and saying, oh my God, look at all these foils.
That's true. And I mean, here's the thing, it does seem like there's more foils now, I mean, than there were. And I think that's by design. And I think okay.
They actually also increased the odds of getting foils in regular booster packs. Right. It used to be like 1 in 6. Now it's 1 in 3.
I opened twice a foil borderless Kallax the other day just out of a normal booster. And yep. I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. And now I have 4 borderless Kallaxes, which is great because, I mean, I have 5 total. I still haven't opened a damn Elspeth. But, and I mean, between the you know, I think we've both cracked 2 boxes at least. You know, you'd think you'd open one, but, I did get my 4th Thassa though, so I felt really good about that. For me, from where I'm sitting, I think the collector booster, experiment, I don't know if it's working. I do think that I don't want to say they're pillaging their own user base, but I think there's something to, you know, kind of making a plan and go with. I mean, here's the thing. I think of, like, I read the Steve Jobs autobiography. Like, I've read it a couple of times. It's really good. And it's not an autobiography. Walter Isaacson wrote it. But anyway, I read his biography. And one of the things he talks about that they did at Apple was, he's like, listen, what we did there was when I came back after I left, I took a look at all the products, and they had a wide array of products. He's like, and I said, what do we do well? What do we do good? That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. And he got rid of like 9 things, including like the stupid PDA. They came back to it, obviously, with the iPhone. But, you know, it's kind of like Wizards, you know. My God, Theros came out last week, and now they're announcing the Unset. And then as soon as the Unset launches, we're going to be getting into spoiler season for, you know, Ikoria, and as soon as that launches, we'll have either a Pioneer Masters or some other like supplemental set. We got to get to be getting Commander here too, I think, eventually soon.
Yeah, I think somebody, it might have been Saffron Olive, who mentioned last year, I think there was something like 18 or 19 products that were released last year.
Eventually, the bottom is going to fall out. You have to realize that this is not, you know. Right now, the economy's kind of doing well. There's more money out there. People have a little bit more to kind of play around with. But you need to realize, like, Wizards, that, you know, you need... I kind of wish Wizards would decide... Like, they have 2 online platforms. Like, they can't decide what they want to do. And it's like... It's almost like one of those things where it seems like they're just now going for the quickest cast they possibly can...
No.
Before, stop. Well, I mean, part of me is like, what's the end game? I mean, is the end game Hasbro goes, okay, well, we've gotten all the money we possibly can out of this. We want to sell Wizards of the Coast to, you know, somebody else. And that other company either, you know, splits it and takes it, which I wouldn't be opposed to. Take D&D, put it somewhere else. But I mean, it still looks to me like something, you know, I just wish they would. I think the collector boosters gotta go. I think it, or if you're gonna do it, then you know what? Make them like the promo packs. Okay, change the price point a little bit. Take the stupid foil commons out. Just give us like if every collector booster you open for say $7 or $8 is 5 cards, you know, 2 rares, you know, a land and 2 foiled. Uncommon or something like that, and that's it. And what you do then is you're going to remove the allure of this $300 collector booster product that is pillaging your own. Now, again, these stores don't make money on booster boxes. They never have. It's always been a loss leader for them to get more get people in and more product in so that people come in and play and buy the cards they need. I get that. I get that the booster box market is a loss leader. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what you should honestly be doing anyways. If you're looking to build a deck, is buy singles, don't buy booster boxes.
Right. I think the collector booster thing should be not. I think they need to go back to the drawing board. Personally.
I disagree with that.
Well, because you buy a lot of the collector. You bought a box of collector boosters, dude.
I'm a collector, and the appeal to me is that I get a lot of the foil commons, and I can get that to fill out the collection. You know,
I've got almost a complete collection. Like I said, I'm missing Elspeth and a few of the Chase Mythics.
But I'm talking like a foil collection.
You and your foil. I guess with me, it's a little different. I don't care. I'm a player and a collector, but I'm mainly a player. The reason I think this show works is I'm a player collector. You're a collector player. Yeah. You know, let's call the whole thing off.
But also, too. This is a product that you're not forced to buy. No one says if you want to play in standard, you have to buy collector boosters because they're the exact same cards that you get in regular booster packs. The only difference is it's available in an alternate art style if that's what you're interested in. Otherwise, if you want to have regular Ashiok, you can play with regular Ashiok. You still have a chance of getting the alternate art in a regular booster pack, and that's a great bonus for you. If you want to sidestep that process and get it right away, here's a collector booster. You have a higher chance of getting it. There's no guarantee because there never is in a booster pack. It's a lottery ticket, like we've said.
Yeah.
But you have a higher chance of getting that particular variant of the card if that's what you're looking for. But if not, the regular cards work just fine. You know, and I think for people like that, that's who the collector boosters are for. People like that are willing to spend that kind of money to say, I want to cut through this process, I want these particular cards, and I'll get X number of these, and then I'll buy the rest of the singles that I'm looking for. Whereas people that crack booster boxes for value to resell the singles, yeah, this might hurt them in the long run, but you shouldn't be cracking boxes for value.
Why not? It's a trade. It's a collectible card.
Because the house will always win.
I don't know that the house always wins.
Eventually the house will win because you're going to get that. You're going to spend $110 on a box. You're going to get $70 in rares.
Here's the deal. I mean, I think part of this too is Kaladesh. I think people really, when booster boxes, and I was talking to a retailer about this, and when the booster box thing really took off, was Kaladesh was the masterpieces. Yeah. Kaladesh and Amonkhet. I mean, that was legitimately a lottery ticket. People were buying boxes to be like, you know what, if I open one, you know, it pays off like three boxes.
And I will say this. If they were going to do anything, I would rather they go back to masterpieces.
Yeah, me too. That's what I was going to say too. It's like, they should be putting these, you know what, here's an idea. Put the collector booster packs in regular wrap in the box.
Make God packs.
Yes. And no, you don't know when you buy it. Like, talk about the ultimate lottery ticket, okay?
That's actually something they could possibly do. That's a collation thing. When they print and fill up these booster boxes, there's a certain way that the cards are cut and sorted and stacked into these packs. I'm sure that there's a way they could probably do it. I guess the question would be, how much would that cost them, and ultimately, how much would that cost us?
Right.
Would that mean that booster packs end up costing $5 each if there's a chance you get a God pack in a box? Would you pay that?
Aren't they $5 already?
Well, they're four something.
Yeah.
There's no MSRP.
Yeah. So for me, looking at this, I'm like, you know, and yeah, okay, now you may be able to feel a pack and say, okay, this feels like there's a ton of foils in there.
Yeah, you know, it's a little thicker.
You know, you'd have to get creative as far as packaging goes.
Actually, it'd be really easy to find it because it'd be folded in half when you open the box because it bent so badly.
I don't know. I'm not sure that we have a winner here, and I'm not sure. You know, Chris did make one more point here. You know, and I like showing him again. Gamers Revolt and Foreplane, but he's saying with the next set coming out, they're doing more with Commander. Yeah, we know about that. They're putting out like six Commander decks.
Yeah, they said 2020 is the year of Commander.
Yeah, which is
but
great.
But I think going back to the original point, I think there's no they don't have the perfect system.
No.
For the way that they do booster packs, because you have regular booster packs, you have theme booster packs, you have collector booster packs, and, you know, the Planeswalker decks and bundles and stuff like that. So there's a bunch of different... I like the way that they have variety. There might be too much. I think that, you know, long-term or collector boosters, good or bad, I'm going to say it depends on what angle you're coming from. Overall, I would say good. But if they were going to change it again, I would rather they go back to masterpieces. But then, you know, do they select from a curated list of cards? Or do they just, you know, do it like they do it with the regular, with the collector packs now and put alternate art foil versions of certain cards in there? I don't know, you know, what the best answer actually is. For me personally, since I like to collect, I mean, I'm going to be going for the collector boosters when I have the chance to get a couple or what have you, maybe, you know, a few per set. And I'll get a box or two, you know, as the new sets come out. But, you know, I'm not really sure. I mean, if it comes down to it and they don't change anything else going forward, I'm happy with it. If they change it back to masterpieces but keep it so it's either, like I said, a curated list of cards from the past or the stuff that they put in collector boosters now just randomly inserted, or even the idea that you were talking about with having random god packs, I actually think that's kind of cool. You get two boxes and you're like, you open the pack, you're like, hey, foil in the front. Oh, another foil. Ooh, another foil. Oh, this whole pack is foil.
All right. Well, I think that's good. Let's go ahead and, I mean, believe it or not, we're running over. So...
Main phase.
Right, we're going to go into main phase two, and we're just going to kind of touch on some things because, I mean, we're at the hour and 3 minute mark.
Wow.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk. Last week, we really kind of went through some stuff regarding Arena and what they were going to do with the whole, what they're going to do with the whole drafting situation at Worlds.
Yeah, I'm sad.
Well, we found out, we went and looked at the Magic Esports site, so you can find it out there. And apparently what's happening is what you said was one of the worst ideas for it.
Well, I mean, it was like the middle ground. It was the one where I said, you know, I would be disappointed, but I guess. I just, you know, for me, I was like, oh, I was really hoping that they would do that and, you know, or whatever.
So what they're planning to do is, it appears, is that instead of doing the, you know, at least they're not doing the bot drafting.
Yeah, that is the worst thing that could happen.
Yeah, that was really the worst that could happen. So they are not going to, and they're not going to implement pod drafting yet. What they're doing is they're doing what I call the hybrid. They're going to have them sit around a table in pods, draft. So I'm assuming 2 8 person pods.
Yeah, it's just like regular draft.
They're going to do a paper draft. So they're all going to get not Throne of Eldraine, but a Theros Beyond Death.
Yeah.
You know, booster packs. They're going to do a draft. And then what happens is they will churn their cards in, and those cards will be coded into Arena to play the draft packs. Obviously, they are talking. So there are some technical things because they have to build a 40-card deck, and there's no way to do that yet with the casual and stuff. It's a check mark somewhere in code. I'm sure they'll be fine.
Yeah, it was probably the easier option of the two, since I guess I'm assuming that pod drafting was still so far, so deep in the developmental weeds that they couldn't get it done in time, which, you know, I was like, ah, damn, I was really hoping that they would do that, because like I said, that would have been a great PR move for them, but this is fine. This is good. It's all right.
And I agree with you, Josh. But yeah, Josh wrote it. He said collector boosters are too expensive for the return. So he just said,
unless
I
you
won.
Open the
no,
big
no, no. He said
card.
I won combat. Let it go. And moving on. So I can mute your ass, dude. So
listen, I'm just saying, like, if you open a foil Uro, then you're good.
Yeah. So, but in any event, I'm okay with this for now.
Yeah,
like I said, I would rather them not try to code something amazing or code, you know, the whole pod drafting thing, if it was going to result in horrible, like,
system issues. Like, this is Worlds. This is not even just, like, you know, a Pro Tour or Player Tour or whatever we're calling it this week. You know, this is Worlds. Like, it needs to work. It needs to work the first time. I mean, so I'm okay with that. And, I mean, I'll be watching, obviously, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be exciting. But with that, I do want to say that, you know, I want to get into our, you know, start moving towards end step. But before we do, we have some business to conduct. So, are you aware of the business we need to conduct?
You go ahead and talk about the business you can conduct, because I'm still sad about them not doing the pod draft.
Oh, you'll survive, sir.
I will. It'll be fine. I'll enjoy it. It's just, it's one of the things, like I said, I was like, kind of hoping.
I don't know what's wrong with you, brother. All right, but let's kinds of stuff. Let's do this. So every month, right now, we have a booster. Well, not a booster, but Alexa, stop. I don't know. Apparently, I said an ALEX. So let's try this again. So we want to do a little bit of business here. Every month, we have we want to encourage you guys to leave us iTunes reviews. It does help grow the show, et cetera, et cetera. So with that in mind, we get, we want to encourage you to do that. We have a drawing every month for arena packs. So with that in mind, all you have to do to enter is leave us an iTunes review. And what we'll do is the first show of a new month, we're going to go in and pick one of them. So at random, and we already did it before the show, and thank God, because it would have made the show longer. So we do have our winner, and our winner this month is actually our latest review. I think he did it during the whole booster box competition. So it's Jay Angler. He put it in on January 11th, 2020. He's the winner of some booster packs for Arena.
Yay!
Congratulations! Woo! So, Jay Angler, you need to get a hold of me. You need to prove that it was you that did the review. Preferably, I'll have you go in and make a change or something so that I know it's you. And once you do that, I will, you know, you can send me your email address and tell me what the change you made was, and then I'll send you the, you know, picture of the codes. So, again, we want to thank you guys for being fans. We do want to encourage you to leave us iTunes reviews so that you can also get some of those cards. And, you know, if we end up giving you something that you already have, because Wizards has kind of a weird thing about, well, you've already redeemed this once. So if we do, we've got a few options for you here. So, but with that, I think we might as well get ourselves, you know, I mean, we ran a little over. So let's get into
End Step.
All right, welcome to End Step. And as we start rolling up our play mats and putting them in their little tubes there, putting our cards away, taking the pizza boxes over to the garbage, because damn it, your mother still does not work here. We do want to remind you guys that both Aramis and I stream Arena on the Planestalker podcast channel on Twitch. We're going to start putting together a real regular schedule on that. We're going to get together, him and I, and try to figure out what night works best. And we do have a gaming night we have to do with our Planeswalker Planeswalker patron, Ian. So we have to set up a night to do that, and then we have to figure out what deck and who he wants to play. So we're going to be doing that, but that's all going to be on the Planestalker podcast Twitch channel. You can follow us there. Just look at Planestalker's podcast, and you can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
Yep, Benson is right about that. We're going to be figuring out our schedule for Twitch streaming and all that good stuff. So if you do happen to catch us on Twitch, you can follow me at RMECWRX. And anything that I put on Twitch is also going to be simulcast on the Planestalkers podcast channel as well. So if you follow that channel and I happen to be live at the moment on Twitch, it'll show up on there. If Twitter is more your speed, you can find our show at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter.
Yes, and my personal Twitter, which I don't tweet out very much. I tend to use it to follow, you know, various celebrities and stuff, and to follow, I don't know, leaders of the free world that think Kansas City is in the wrong state.
That was bad.
I was like sitting there going, you know what, you kind of have one job. But so I tend to do that, but you can follow me on Twitter and, you know, at WR Benson. And, of course, you can always follow us on Facebook, guys. This is where we do the live show every week. We record Mondays around 7 p.m. So you just go on to facebook.com/planestalker. It's not planestalkers, it's planestalker, because we took off the last S for savings and because I think somebody else took it. So like and follow our page there. It's facebook.com/planestalker.
Finally, if you don't want to go through all of that nonsense and you just want to send us an email, let us know how we're doing. Maybe if you have a suggestion for the show, or if you want to ask advice in our Ask Aramis section, where we haven't had any emails for a while.
Yeah, Jamie sent in the deck list last week, guys. Get on that. What's wrong with you people?
Yeah, we love answering questions. But anyway, the Ask Aramis section is where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. And if that's what you want to do, you can send us an email. Our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
You know what? I think we should change the name of that segment, because I give as much there. I think we should change it from Ask Aramis to Ask the Casuals. I'm just going to say that.
Speak for yourself, you filthy casual.
Oh, you're still a casual, you son of a bitch.
Shut up.
All right. So, but with that, also, again, we've already mentioned it, but the iTunes reviews do help the show. Believe it or not, I did a little research this morning. And apparently, if you go into iTunes and search Standard MTG, we come up first. So that's partially thanks to you people coming in and putting in the reviews. If you want more eyes on the show, you want the show to grow and things like that, please go on to iTunes or Spotify or well, we're not on iHeartRadio. I'm still working on that. But the Google Play Store, we're almost anywhere you can get, I think, you can go anywhere you can get a podcast, Anchor FM, anything like that, we try to get on there. And if you go looking for us and we're not on there, then, first of all, how are you listening to the show? But second of all, let us know, and I'll make sure we can get ourselves on there. iHeartRadio is, man, they are just, you got to jump through 1,000 hoops. But we're going to do it because we love you. And on that note, we're going to go ahead and just say goodbye tonight. We want to thank you guys very much for being listeners of the show. We're really grateful that you're here with us. We will be recording next Monday night at around 7 p.m. Eastern time. So you can tune in there at the Facebook site. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying we love you guys. Thanks for listening. And remember to always leave some of your mana on tap, because you never know when you'll need it for later. Take care.